Chapter 43, Escape. I strike at him eager to wake, and he whimpers and asks where he is and who I am and all those questions men ask when they are awoken suddenly. Where's Kane? We said we would take turns guarding him, and now he's gone. I must have fallen asleep. I punch him directly in the nose, right in that spot that makes the blood come out fast and full. And Adam Egget covers his nose with his hands and runs crying to the bathroom. I'm very scared now. Keen wasted too much time, and the 30-day limit has come and gone. The red Cadillac has been parked across the street for a week now, and some goons knocked on the door a few days ago. Adam Egget and I listened from the closet as Keen answered a few questions, and the goons moved on. Since then, there's been nothing. But they know we're in the building. I hope Keen remembered that when he left. If he was smart, he took the fire escape and then ducked through the kitchen of the Chinese restaurant to 6th Avenue and beyond. But he's been acting screwy lately. Reckless. Sometimes he'll open the curtain in front of the window with the hole in it, sending Adam Egget and me diving behind furniture. Because we can still see the big red Cadillac across the street. Does he really think he has a chance against the fat man with the artificial hair? I reach under the couch for my gun, and it's gone. Where the hell did I leave it? I can't go out in New York City unarmed. Keen has a whole bunch of baseball gloves and balls and bats signed by famous players. He's got so many you'd think he was a baseball player himself. I grab the biggest bat I can find, signed by Lou Gehrig. It's not much of a weapon, but it's all I got, and I have no time. I have to find Keen, and find him fast.
I order a glass of Wild Turkey 101 and ask the waiter to leave the bottle. I never had much tolerance for libations, but I am determined to go through with this transformation as far as I can. And I see now that the drink has little effect on me, the morphine has numbed me out, and the liquor does not burn my gullet. It's like my insides are as impervious as ice. When I talk, and I do feel like talking a lot on this drug, my voice is a slur, thick and incoherent, and I smile and laugh for little reason. It takes only a moment for someone to recognize the voice. "Hey, I know you!" And he's over on me in a moment and has me in a headlock. "You're that guy," he says, leading me to the table where his friends are sitting. "Hey, you know who this guy is?" I can't tell if the question is rhetorical or genuine. One couple there clearly has no idea, but they seem polite enough about it, even a little apologetic. But in the other five, I see that their eyes are narrowed in on me, and they look from me to a place down on the table or on the wall where their memories are just out of reach. "I seen you in something," offers one. "Sure you have," I say. "Where have I seen you?" Luckily, I've become a bit of an expert on who I am, so I decide to guess from their age how they might know me. "Well, you may have heard of a little movie called Billy Madison." "You're not Adam Sandler," one punk sneers dismissively. "Maybe not, but I know him, and he knows me too." "Then get him on the phone." "I would, but not for the likes of you." "Then just tell us how we know you." "Take it easy, Charlie. After all, I invited him over here." This one is the biggest and the youngest, and I can tell that he has a dangerous bite to him. But the fine morphine has me immune to my usual fear of the young. "You ever heard of the Norm Show?" "Nope." "I played Norm." "You ever been on television?" "Are you not even listening? I've been on every talk show there is. Jimmy Fallon, Conan, Kimmel, Leno, even the grand old man himself, David Letterman. And always as the first guest, too." I can feel the pride swelling me up, and I take another fine, free shot of booze. This is turning out okay. As long as these folks don't figure out where they almost know me from, they have no choice. Everything is free. So I decide to let the mystery play out, and then I'll let them in on the fine secret, and we'll all have a good laugh and talk about the great merriment I've brought into each of their banal lives. The one they call Fred says, "I'm sorry, I never watch TV." You can tell he isn't sorry at all, but proud and probably lying to boot, and I feel my hand turn to a fist under the table. I spend my whole life trying to get on TV, and it just isn't enough for this son of a bitch of a Fred. Then one of the bigger rogues gets an impatient look to him, like my life isn't worth the time of a parlor game. "Look, just tell us where we know you from. We got girls coming over here to meet us soon. We don't have all day." I guess they must have got lost in traffic, huh? I say and recognize the line from my audience interaction on those thousands of tapes back at the brownstone. This gets me my first laugh from the table, and it gives me the idea that maybe one of these boys has seen me perform live, in the flesh. So I give it a thought. Who am I, anyway? I've always felt a man is what a man does, so I give them the truth. I've done stand-up comedy across this country and Canada as well for nearly 30 years, and I continue to do it to this very day. I have to snort back a laugh because it sounds like one of them game show questions where you follow it up with, who am I? You know Louis C.K.? You know Amy Schumer? You know Aziz Ansari? You know Bill Burr? I know them all, goddammit, and they know me too. I met Louis C.K. once. We saw Aziz at Carnegie Hall. You ever play Carnegie Hall? I don't like big rooms. I play clubs. It's more intimate. Yeah, I bet you like it real intimate. I can't tell if this last one is a dig at the size of the venues I play or the more squalid obvious. Either way, I've already accepted that I am in the company of Philistines. The piling on has brought out the best in one of the fellows, though, and he pushes a brown plastic bowl of bar snacks in my direction. I was at the cellar last night and I saw Colin Quinn. You know him? Now you're getting closer. I nearly burst out of my seat and realized for the first time it is becoming important to me that one of these young men solve this puzzle. Yeah, me and Colin go way back, and if you know Colin Quinn, there's a good chance you know me too. And then it happens. You're from SNL! The chatter gets busy fast. They all know me now, even the one named Fred who hardly knew what a television was. They pat me hard on the back and laugh and order a pitcher of beer. I demand Wild Turkey 101. They didn't have much choice. I have them over a barrel. If there isn't a bottle of whiskey on my table, and soon, I am likely to take my famous self and walk it right out into the New York streets. So Charlie orders whiskey. Now a new game gets started. What's your name? I have no time for this. I am only interested in knowing what they think of me, so I just point at the stitching on my SNL jacket. Oh, of course, says Charlie. It's Norm Macfarlane. Hey, Macfarlane, I knew it was you the whole time. I was a big fan. You did Weekend Update. Yeah, you were dry. You did dry comedy. I like dry comedy. I've always liked you, Macfarlane, but everybody I knew thought you sucked. They just didn't get you like I did. You were dry. Well, I didn't like him. Well, isn't that just like Charlie? The big one, the bully, to stop the conversation dead with his big, brawly opinion. Hey, come on, Charlie, it was you who invited him over. He was just sitting in the corner, minding his own business, muttering to himself. I remember him. I was in high school and I watched the show because of Sandler and Farley. Then he'd come on talking about politics. He'd do some stupid joke and then just stare at the audience with a big, dumb smile on his face. He was never funny. Well, I liked him, I shout, way, way too loudly. And it seems every eyeball in the room is on me. Everything okay over there? Says the bartender. Everything is just fine, my good man. I'd be obliged if you could rustle me up a pen and sheet of paper. Sure thing. He takes a pen from a jar and turns a paper menu over to the blank side and hands it to me. He smiles warmly at me and extends his hand. I shake it for a while. Probably too long. I'm just not used to this damn morphine. Say, any chance of me getting your autograph, Mr. Macfarlane? It doesn't matter how cynical I think I am. I am always delighted to find out that things in this life still have the capacity to surprise me. I hunch over the hard oak table and write the final chapter.